Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Why Should Your Team Win? I have a guest. I can't believe it. I'm so excited. But first, I have to do some housekeeping. In my first episode, I said Nazem Kadri scored the overtime winner in game 3, but I meant to say game 4. And it's Cogs, as in Andrew Cogliano, is not Cogs. I'm sorry I made that gross mistake. Anyway, today I have a very special guest coming all the way from Illinois, Mr. David Sparks.
Hey, hello from Illinois.
Well, Chicago, right? You're in Chicago, right?
Yeah. I don't even consider it Illinois. Being a non-native, right? No.
Well,
it's Chicago. What am I gonna...
Dave, tell me who your team is.
My team is the Detroit Red Wings, the team of my youth, the team of my allegiance. You know, when you're from, you know, I'm really very interested in fanships, right? And mm-hmm. any social pockets of anything.
Of course.
So, yeah, and they all have their behaviors, right? But in Michigan, Southeast Michigan, right, it's you know, you got... culturally, of music and cars and Detroit sports, basically. So.
And everyone around you is a Red Wings fan, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, it's strange being in Chicago because it's such a big, so much bigger city, and there's so many different influences from everywhere. You know, most people you're talking to aren't necessarily from Chicago, right?
So oh yeah.
When the Cubs won in 2016, right? Which was a very similar team to the Tigers winning in 84, right? It was very interesting. And my son was about the same age I was when that happened. So, and it's funny, you hear about it, it's kind of around, but it's not the same. When the Red Wings are on a cup run or something, around, you know, I lived in Detroit in 2006 for a year, it's a complicated story, yeah. But when the Tigers won the pennant out of nowhere, right? It's like all anybody was talking about. You'd walk down the street and you'd hear people going, blah, 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 Tigers, blah, 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 right? And that's sort of like the ethos of the area. It's very important. So you don't, you know, you move away, but you don't, you know.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You don't give up your team, of course.
Yeah.
And I brainwashed my poor child, children, both of them, but really successfully with my son, my older son, right?
Good
he's
job.
A Red Wings fan. I got him into. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I was kind of proud, you know, because I.
He can't be a Blackhawks fan.
No, I know, right?
Exactly. Too many bandwagon fans lately, yeah. But.
Yeah. Well, you know, because. And the Cubs are a great thing because the Cubs are like, you know. And, although that's changing with next year, I believe, but the National League and American League is kind of like, you know. It's kind of, you know, it's a different universe. You can have your American League team and your National League team and so forth. Just as long as they aren't White Sox fans, great, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
But, I mean, you know...
Is this a bad time to mention I'm a Twins fan?
What was that?
Is this a bad time to mention I'm a Twins fan?
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. Twins, yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Who could be upset about the Twins?
I mean, I don't follow them, but I think they're doing pretty good right now, no?
Yeah. They're they're the sort of surprise team, whereas the White Sox are doing really crap. So the Tigers are dead. The season ended mid-April. They were done. So, you know, I've been not watching the standings that closely, but I believe the Twins are still in first place. The Twins and the Guardians.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, who are they?
Yeah. Weird, right?
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate that they finally got rid of the racist nickname.
Yeah, they should have agreed.
gotten a good one.
Yeah, the Guardians. I mean, is it Thanos with the iron? I don't know. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, and they have the horseshit story about the bridge, the guys on the bridge or whatever it is. But it's like you just wanted the same beats as Indians, right? Guardians.
Yeah.
You know, that's just stupid, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, brainwashing. It was very successful. It helped that his name's Henry, and I got him... into being a Henrik Zetterberg fan.
Oh, okay.
Like, the name as being a connecting point?
Yeah, well, that's my leading into my next question. Who's your favorite player all time, Red Wings?
All time Red Wings. See, that's a tough one.
I know. There's so many legends. I mean, even recent legends. You know.
Right, but it has to be Pavel Datsyuk.
Oh, what do they call him? The Magic Man? Is that his nickname?
Yes, yeah. The Magic Man, yes. Like, you famously could ask Siri who the Magic Man was, and she would tell you. But, like, you know, Yzerman's the easy answer, of course.
Stevie Y.
Nicholas from the, obviously. Yeah. But, like, it's funny because we're like the same age. And so, when you know, he was...
You and Pavel.
Through the 20s. Yeah.
Okay, he's retiring soon, but
yeah, he's still going to Russia.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Technical difficulties. Anyway, Pavel Datsyuk.
Yes. Yeah, he and I are the same age, right? And so there was which is not necessarily the reason. The reason is that he was but he was just such the skill level.
Unreal.
It was so spectacular. Yeah, it was so much fun to watch. It was like watching, you know, being a Lions fan and watching Barry Sanders, right? There was the excellence, but then there was just the joy. He was just a genius.
And
right?
Kind of why did you leave so soon?
No. Oh, yeah, because he had, I mean, obviously he's still playing in Russia. He was still playing at a high level. He wasn't like Pete Datsyuk, but...
Yeah, I think I read recently he's finishing up his 26th season, and he's hanging up the skates after this.
Oh, is he? Oh, see, I didn't know that.
26, yeah.
Great, so he'll be in the Hall of Fame soon, right, yeah.
Well, yeah.
So, because he was, he was, you know... You watch like highlight reels of it on YouTube and stuff, and those are so much fun. Just like 14, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you know, and you can just walk. And, you know, rightfully, so many people, you know, they're always like, because his insane move on Marty Turco, right, where all of a sudden he just goes sideways and whatever that's called. It's just like, seems physically impossible.
Yeah. Right?
So there's those. But for me, it was even more amazing just watching him skate up to a scrum and come away with the puck off the wall and skate up to, and he's like two strides, he's in front of the net. And then he, you know, he just will pass it anywhere. He and Zetterberg had that symbiosis thing where they, you know, they could just feed each other from anywhere and know they were there.
Yeah.
And it was just astounding to watch. It was one of those things where you were constantly aware, this is amazing that I'm going through this, and this is going to end sometime, and I'm going to be so sad.
Yeah. No, it's players like him, I mean, they come around once every couple of years. I mean, they use throw that term generational talent, blah, 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 but like what he had was like, damn, like his Magic Man, you know, those mitts, silk, you know.
Yeah, and it was, and I really appreciate in sports generally, and I feel like it's most, it mostly happens, the ability to happen is more in, you know, hockey, and football really for the quarterback, but really that's kind of it, where you have a on ice, so everything that happens is set in motion like a second and a half to 2 seconds before it happens, right? And nobody can react, and like in basketball, you can just like, there's some element of that, but you have so much more control of your physical surroundings, mm-hmm. right? Hockey is so reliant on cohesiveness and sync with everyone,
yeah.
And Datsyuk was operating 3 moves ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
And that was the thing I first realized was in his rookie year. I remember watching it with my friend. sneakiest bastard I ever saw. Because he would just like skate up, you know, skate around with his head down, right? And this little guy, and then there'd be a scrum on the boards, and he'd just go into it, and he'd skate away with the puck just like that. I'm like, what the hell just happened? How did he do that? And then just, you really pay attention and carefully, and he hits the guy's stick because he knows the guy's stick is going to hit the puck, right? He hits the guy's stick before it hits, and he's got it curved around already. He's already acting, and he's already countering the other person's action instantaneously.
Yeah.
And it was amazing to watch, right? It was those things for me were amazing, on top of, you know, just the obvious open ice skill and all that, just yeah. like making guys fall down and everything is, you know, it's so much fun to watch his highlight reels.
Oh, yeah,
and
just, yeah.
The fact that he could have scored so much more than he did. He was just so great defensively, too.
Well, yeah, you think of what kind of records he could have broken if he didn't go back to Russia, join the KHL. I mean, there's a lot of what-ifs with him, but, I mean, he still got, what, two cups with Detroit?
Yeah. Yeah, two, because he was a rookie in 2002. So, and the strike year, he lost the peak year to the strike, which was true for a lot of those. I mean, like Zetterberg also.
Yeah.
And Lidstrom lost a year, right?
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, Eisenman might have played another year, but you know he was barely walking anymore.
Yeah. What, he did 22 seasons? That's insane.
A lot.
Yeah.
And he was like I don't even know if you remember 2002 when he was really playing on one leg, right? Where he had the osteotomy the next year,
Jeez.
The off season.
What is even that? Osteotomy? What's that?
It's what they. I think that's how I'm pronouncing it correctly.
They just gave him new bones or something.
Yeah. So, no. So it's like what
a bone replacement.
No, it's worse than that. It's what you do for seniors when they have no cartilage left in their legs.
Jesus.
And you're trying to make it so that they can just walk comfortably with that effect. So his knee was so screwed up, they saw the bone and take bone matter from somewhere else, like your rib or something. And I don't know. A doctor could tell you.
Yeah.
And then they pack it into the bone and sort of clamp it up, or I don't know what the hell they do.
Damn.
But they purposely make you bowling to take the pressure off your knee. And then he came back the next year.
And won the scoring title. No, I was kidding.
And it was good, yeah.
But blocked 15 shots a game.
He missed most of the year, and then he came to the Olympics, right? And then the Canada won the Olympics.
Oh, that team, yeah, magical team.
Really, I mean, I don't usually watch the Olympics much, like the hockey in the Olympics and whatnot, but he I watched some of the games and he was really, really good.
That team was stacked.
He was, yeah.
I think it was, Lemieux's last Olympics, and it was fun to see Joe Sakic play with Stevie Y too. This kind of leads to my next question. Do you have a memorable cup run? Did you cheer for them in the 90s?
Because
they had that pretty awesome rivalry with the Avalanche, my team.
Yeah. Oh, so that's your team. See, I didn't know that. So, did you watch the ESPN special?
No, I haven't, but I mean, I know the story frontwards and backwards. The brawl, yeah. March 26, 1995 or 7 or whatever year it was.
That's so fast, because, like, 90, to answer your question, I think it would be 97, just because...
Well, no, I think it was 95, because that was the... No, 96, because they won it in 96, the Avalanche. And then they won it back-to-back. Detroit won 97-98.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 97 was, like, not only were they so close, you know, losing and getting swept in 95. Freaking Devils, right? And then, you know, they were so good. They were so stacked from, like, really 94-ish on. And then they got shocked by the Sharks, right, the year before that. And then they go to the finals and they get swept. And the Avalanche, you know, just that whole thing with Draper and...
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
He was such a scumbag, right?
Lemieux.
And,
yeah, that was a...
Yeah, that was ugly. And so, like, 97, there was that element of that, right? It was where they really came together as a team. They had sort of worked themselves into being the underdogs again, especially against the Flyers, who were supposed to be this the big bad Flyers team, right?
Yeah.
I think people, it happens, I think, where, like, when one conference is so much stronger than the other, like, at different times, you know, after a while, they become aware of it, right?
Yeah.
Like, in basketball, it's, like, so much obvious that the East is stronger than the West and so forth.
But yeah.
When, the West was just, the West is like the East now,
mm-hmm.
right? Where it's just, like, the top teams are just, you know, stacked. So getting through that and then facing the Flyers, right, everybody thought they were going to get destroyed. Well, not everybody, but, you know, a lot of people were picking the Flyers, even in Detroit. So, you know, just that whole thing, the, you know, revenge being such a big thing, especially then, you know, the retribution with the Avalanche at the end, and that's where they really sort of really came together. It had that kind of character of, that was, you know, 2002 was such a ridiculous sort of fame, like, roster, you know, but it was guys at the end of their...
Yeah, like Luke Robitaille, Brett Hull, I think.
Robitaille and Hull and Hasek and God, the list goes on. I'm even blanking on how many there were. And including Yzerman and Shanahan and so forth, right? Like,
and was that still Scotty Bowman? Was the coach still?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was his last year.
Yeah.
He quit after they won. On the ice. Like, he told everybody that he was quitting after they won, right?
Yeah.
When they were celebrating. But so... But 97, it was just such an amazing team, right? 97 and 98.
Well, and I think it had gone like a couple decades without, I think the last time they won it was like 61 or something. Am I wrong? Am I right?
It was 42 years.
Yeah, okay. Something like that. Yeah.
50, I always forget. You know, it's funny. I should know the list.
It wasn't 61, but it was a damn long time.
Yeah, it was 50. I think it was 50s. Was it 55 or 56 was the last one? Because I always get confused because they won three in a row. Right? Did they win three? No, they won three out of four. How's that work? In the 50s, like Bernie Howe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm bad with numbers. So. But like, and there's so many, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track. So the 97 was. That was like the most special one, I think. It was the first one, and it was just such a organic, homegrown.
Well, I think when they won the second year, and that whole story that one Russian player got into that awful limousine accident and was paralyzed from the neck down. And I love it when captains take that moment to, you know, Stevie Y raises it and then lets that guy. Puts it on his lap right away. It's like, that's the moment you're like, oh my God, it's almost up there with, you know, Sakic handing it to Bork right away, you know, but I'm like, that's magical.
Yeah. And it was, but at the same time, it was so sad.
Oh yeah. Oh, of course.
And so like 98, it's a real saying which one is better.
Yeah.
It's a real neck and neck for that reason, because it was, I remember being, my dad used to run a basketball camp in the weekend, in the summer, the first couple of weeks after school. So he was a coach and elementary gym teacher and all that. So, it was a great basketball camp, but I remember I would always work there in the summers and as a, you know, counselor and coach and that kind of thing. And I remember reading about that in the paper that morning.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And it just like ruined everything. You know what I mean? Because he's such a Detroit guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the funny thing about the Russians, Fedorov a little less so, because he was so slick. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, he had that slick kind of look, and, you know, and then he ended up leaving and the fans, you know, got really on him, which I, at the time they booed him and stuff. I thought that was stupid.
Yeah.
But because he left for either equal amount of money or less to go to L.A. because it was better for his, like, career. He wanted to get out of Eisenhower. It was, like, a complicated thing with him.
He wanted to be in movies, too, I think. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I right.
No, yeah, he had a face for it, but...
yeah, right. But so he... But like, that's why his number still isn't retired with Detroit, which is just ridiculous. It should be. It's dumb. He, especially when you, the chances he took defecting, that whole story. There's a really good book on that called The Russian Pipe. They actually made it into a documentary movie.
Of Miracles and Men.
No, it's called The Russian Five.
Oh, The Russian Five. Oh, I'm thinking of a different one that came out 2015. It was basically the Miracle on Ice story, but from the Russians' point of view.
Oh, really? You know what? I've heard of that. I have not read that, but that would be really interesting.
Well, yeah, it's a 30 for 30 on ESPN.
But
it also tells one of the Russian guys that, you know, he wanted to come to America the right way, and he could have done like an Al McGinley. You know, he could have, like, snuck under, but he wanted to do it the right way, and he eventually made his way to the Red Wings, and he was there for their cup runs. Yeah. I forget his name. I'm sorry.
Fetisov?
Okay, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he was so that was – so in 97, when they won the cup, right, Yzerman first handed it to Fetisov.
Ah. Yeah, because he was the best player in the world for years, you know.
Yeah. Because the Russian Five, that was also amazing and so revolutionary. Yeah. Right? There were so many things about that team, you know, and also with Konstantinov getting hurt. I mean, he might have won a Norris Trophy eventually, right?
Yeah.
He was, I don't know if he was runner-up that year in 96, 97. He was close. You know, he was one of the finalists. I believe. I'd have to check on that. But he was... And he's on the same team with Nick Lidstrom was kind of under his shadow back then.
Yeah.
It was really only after the accident that he kind of emerged and then, you know, won all the Norris trophies and all that. Mm-hmm. But he was that good before. It's just, you know, his game is so subtle, right? He just kind of, person, not to get off the track, but the conversation track, but it was just amazing. Not just the defense, but the offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just like a true quarterback. He was amazing, right?
Yeah. Now, I have another question. So what are your thoughts on Darren Helm winning it with the Avs this year?
Oh, yeah. You know, Darren Helm is such a great guy.
I was so happy for him. But, I mean, he already had a ring in 2008. But, I mean.
Yeah, he was instrumental.
Yeah.
He scored his first goal was in the playoffs. He had an extremely famous penalty kill in there, or two really. He was so fast and he was such good puck possession.
Oh yeah.
If he ever learned to finish, you know, on a breakaway.
He showed up big for the Avs this playoffs. There was definitely some games that we might not have won without him. You know, he was, you know, just having that veteran. I think he was doing fourth line, but still, I mean, he did the job, and he even got some pucks in the net, so it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's that kind of player, right? And so, like, the 97 Wings had a bunch of those types. Like, they had, like, you know, obviously the grind line, right? But then they had, like, Doug Brown always stands out. Marty Lapointe is always like a really underrated player on that team, right? And both teams, like 1978. But he sort of filled that when they slipped the window, right? Where they went from the sort of Yzerman Red Wings to the Datsyuk Zetterberg Red Wing, right? With all the Swedes.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, they were all really the Lidstrom Red Wings. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Lidstrom was the key element of all of those teams. There's a reason he has four, you know. But the, you know, like Holmstrom, Draper, Maltby, those guys have four also, right?
Yeah.
They were so key to that run. And McCarty has four too, although he didn't really, he went away and came back and he didn't really play so much in 2008.
Yeah.
They should have won two. 2009 is still, I'm still very angry about. Yeah, I'm not a
Sid the
person.
Kid.
I just hated the Penguins. I hate the Penguins so much. Right? I hated the Penguins so much, and the fact that they lost like that in the last two games, last at home. Sidney Crosby doesn't shake Nick Lidstrom's hand and all that.
What?
Everybody
I don't
gets
know.
A pass. Oh yeah, you know that's right. Everybody, you know, all these, you know, especially the Canadians, right? When they talk about the handshake line, you get like real misty.
It's a part of the game. It's the best part of the game.
And they're like, oh, it's the yeah, that's the most important part of our sport, you know, and all that. And then they were celebrating, and then the handshake line started, right? And you could see it because I swear to God, you know, Crosby was kind of looking over at it a couple of times. But they're like, no, we're still celebrating. Like, he was rubbing it in from last year because he maybe thought, you know, he's like, you know, you can just tell he's like that, you know?
Yeah.
And so half the line goes through, like a bunch of penguins come through the line, and then they're just standing there, Lidstrom's out in front, of course, and just standing there waiting, and until the point where it got, like, insulting, and then they just left.
Oh, my God.
And then everybody's like, oh, well, you know, it was just a mistake, and he's young. I was like, are you kidding me?
Young?
Like, have a little consistency here.
Yeah.
Everybody gave him a pass on that. And I was very upset. So, yeah, I mean, that just made it worse.
You know, I hate him now. I used to be indifferent. Now I hate him. I'm just kidding.
They say he's matured and all that, but I don't know. Screw it, right? Same thing with, like, Lemieux on the special. A lot of the special is very it's much more from a Colorado, not to get back into it, sorry, but
yeah.
It's much more from a Colorado standpoint, I think.
I've heard,
because it tends to be covered from, like, a Red Wings standpoint.
Yeah, well, I heard it was, like, Colorado's the bad guy in, like, the
documentary. Yeah, because they were.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they started it by smashing Mr. Foote's face in the glass.
No. Hold on. Wait. That's ridiculous. Because they were taking liberties with the Russians that whole time to throw the Russians off the game. That's why he did it.
No, yeah,
that's
horseshit. It was.
They were taking big-time liberties with him the whole time, and he just stood up for himself. Yeah. And then what he did was, hockey, you know, it happens all the time, whereas what, you know, Lemieux did could have killed him.
Oh, yeah, no, he would have been gone for, he would have been gone for a couple games if that happened today, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe longer.
Yeah. And the fact that he didn't, like, miss the rest of the playoffs was just stupid.
Oh, but, and, like, so, he never apologized.
And he acted like an ass. It wasn't that he just didn't apologize. He was, like, saying he made him faint. You know, and then to see him, you know, it's cool that he and McCarty do the joint things together and have patched it up and so forth.
Yeah.
But at the same time, a lot of it is kind of like, and they had in Detroit, right, which he showed up for. I give him all the credit in the world for showing up to these things, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, like any other hockey, even the cheap shot artists, right, they're such nice guys off the ice, which they almost universally, like, kind of are, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, I saw I saw the clip for that documentary, and I was so surprised that Darren McCarty's nose is on the other side of his face.
Oh, yeah.
Like, damn. He's a hockey player.
But like, they were all like, oh, yeah, it was a dumb thing. And, like, Patrick Waugh was like, you know, after the second, you know, what am I doing? Why would I'm not going to get into it in 2002 also. But, like, you know, that all seemed very after the fact, you know, self-apologizing kind of thing. Where it's like, oh, I'm really, you know, that's not me. Like, that's totally you. You were people hated, you know, Patrick Waugh, you know, before that, right? And, like, you know, he's just so obnoxious. But, yeah, I mean, it was it's funny because you have your Sakics, you know, you have your, you know, it was kind of in a lot of ways, a nice guy team, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some element of it where, you know, I don't know. It was just easy to hate. And I find that really interesting because, you know, thinking about who, you know, the biggest rivals are. Because I was thinking a lot about this while watching it, because when that core broke up for the Avalanche, and then they got, you know, worse, and the Red Wings again slipped the window and became a different team. It's funny how fast that went away.
I think 2001 was it. And then 2002, because Colorado won in 2001, and then Detroit won in 2002. And then that rivalry, it was just done. By 2002, it was like a memory. And then it switched to the Wild for a couple years. The Mild.
Right. But it was, that was like, because there's a lot of, because like the team, you know, the big rival for the, you know, the Red Wings are either like Blackhawks, which of course are not the same division anymore, or the same conference anymore. So, but of course, you know, the Maple Leafs, right? Like the Maple Leafs were the big one, right?
Okay. Original
Detroit, Toronto always had the thing, like especially when the Tigers and the Blue Jays were still good, because they travel really well.
Okay,
Detroit.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're chirpy. They're like, you'd have blue, usually you go to I see a lot of games in Chicago, of course. Like, you know, I see it. I'm supposed to go see them this week. I'm supposed to go see my Tigers are in town on Friday, right? I stay very quiet, right?
Yeah.
Blue Jays fans would travel and they would chirp, man. And like, they're really loud in Red Wings games. Travel really well, the Reds to Detroit for Red Wings games. So they'll be like really big, like, let's go Red Wings, go Leafs, go chants back and forth and all that. But it's really more between the fans. You know what I mean? I'm sure there were like some real hatred in, you know, in the old original Six days, right? But the Avalanche Red Wings thing was, I think it became such a storied rivalry, even in hockey history.
Well, and just the most ridiculous, I mean, that brawl and at the Joe, and you know, I watched the highlights from it yesterday, kind of like get ready for this, and it was just insane, just how much like it was just as soon as the whistle goes, drop the gloves, you know, as soon as the puck drops, drop the gloves, and it was just like the most. It was like a WWF match on skates, except there was real blood everywhere.
It's funny because they had one of the anniversaries of the Red Wings, they had a DVD set. They had a poll where they asked fans to rate their favorite game, and they have a top five games. And of course, the you know, March 26th, you know, is one of the games. But it's funny. I was watching this special with him, my impressionable son, you know, who I always talk about how revenge is the wrong way to go and violence is wrong and such. I'm like, oh, here, watch this with me, right? And he was like, oh, I'd like to watch that game. I was like, you know, well, you say that, but that game is like 5 hours long.
Yeah, well, and plus the announcers are like, good old time hockey, this is it. Oh, and it was like, nowadays, that would, they'd be like, this is disgusting display of, you know, like.
Well, not the Red Wings announcers, but Mickey Redmond's always like, it's almost, you know, every time there's a fight, you know, he's going to go on a whole thing about, the fans don't like this, do they? Oh, they're all on their feet.
Yeah, no one's going to get a coffee right now.
Right, but I was interested in your take on this because, you know, I was one of these guys, and even before YouTube, there was a site I stumbled on called HockeyFights.com.
Yeah, it still exists, I think.
And, you know, but now with YouTube, right, they're all on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
So, and you know, you watch, all, like, through the 80s, especially in the Norris Division, right? Like, with the Red, and, you know, you watch all the old, like, Probert and Kosher fights, especially Probert, right? Who was like an animal, right?
Yeah.
And he would take punches to open guys up, right? And then just, like, destroy. It was just really something to watch. And, you know, I always got a big kick out of that. But, you know, it's funny. I don't know if it's getting older or what, but then it was, I think it was really more when, like, Bob Probert dropped dead.
It was just his death anniversary a few days ago.
Yeah, and he wasn't, what was he, like, 49 or something? Like,
he was young, yeah. I mean,
and you know, where they scanned it for science, and he donated his body to science and whatnot.
Yeah.
His brain was just a deteriorated mess, right?
It
was,
well, not only just the hits, but the cocaine use, the everything, the hard lifestyle.
Well, you know, it's all related, right?
Yeah.
Like, so that kind of takes a little bit of the shine off it, right? So even watching the special, which, you know, you used to really get up for, like, I understand it, you know, especially with, you know, I'm not big on, you know, even the whole thing about the sheriff and all that. I feel like a lot of, like, you had the cheap shot artist, right, who rarely fought.
Yeah.
Unless they were a true tough guy, right? But the cheap shot artist would do basically what Lemieux did.
Yeah.
Know, like Turtle or whatever, or skate away.
Well,
does it skate away, and then their enforcer takes on the other force, and then it it ends up being the enforcer on the enforcer all the time. So all of a sudden you have these enforcer, like, clan fights and all this stuff. And you're like, is this really policing anything? I don't think there's really many less cheap shots now. You know, I think we're just more sensitive to them.
Well, I mean, I think if a player did, you know, what McCarty did to Lemieux, yeah, he turtled, but he fucking came at him at 100 miles per hour.
Yeah.
It happened so fast. It's like, did he turtle? He just ragdolled him a bit.
Yeah, he didn't turtle until he got him with the first punch, right? And he fell, but he didn't really turtle until he came underneath with a couple of good shots.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, to his credit, I mean, I would have covered up too.
No, exactly. People are like, he turtled. I'm like, yeah, same. I mean, he's in a horrible, he was in the turtle position when it happened. So it's.
Yeah. But like when, in the question and answer thing, the thing I was about to, he was like, oh yeah, well it happened so fast. I was just going to finish my check. I'm like, bullshit. You saw your opportunity. You knew exactly. Those guys know exactly what.
He was like, what, 4 feet from the boards? Like, it was just ugly.
Yeah, he saw him coming. He went after his head with his forearm. You know, it was like a total retribution shot. He had already sucker punched Kozlov. Right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. The whole thing was just sick. So, you know, you understand that part of it. And it really did. There is that element in hockey, right? It's just not going to go away. And that really was because it's such a rough game. Right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that injury, I mean, it broke his orbital socket, his jaw, his this and that. I mean, he had to get his mouth wired shut. Like, it was just a horrific injury.
The trainer on the special does a really good, he runs down every single injury, and it's just even more astounding than that.
Well, I mean, basically, it was like whipping a bowling ball at his face is like what happened, you know?
Yeah. But anyway, to go back to your, I don't even remember what your question was. Go back on that.
Well, here.
Oh, yeah. So favorite cup runs, that was probably it.
Yeah.
Like 97.
Well, and also.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah. Well, I'm about to get into my last question, but what also impressed me with the Detroit was 25 straight playoff appearances.
Yeah.
That's a record in all leagues.
Well, it's been better than hockey a few times, but the league was much smaller, right? But just the fact, and it wasn't like, I mean, they won four cups in it, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't like Blues, where they were just hanging around for years and years and years, right?
Yeah.
Like, or the Blackhawks, even, right? And their long run.
Yeah.
It was more like the Bruins, right? And their long run, where it was like, but yeah, four cups. And again, they had the defense, and Lidstrom was the key to that whole run, I feel like.
Well, it is, you know, the hardest trophy to win in sports. So my last question for you is, why should your team win the 2022-23 season?
Well, the real answer is they probably shouldn't. And I say probably hedgy. But
you're hopeful. Tell me why they're going to win.
I'm hopeful. Well, when you're hopeful, like, I was hopeful with the Tigers this year, and, you know, and again, their season was done in, like, 2 weeks. But it's a similar kind of thing. With the four Detroit sports right now, I mean, the Lions are always terrible, right? They're, like, the scapegoat that gets, like, put out into the woods.
They're always 0-14.
Yeah. But with Detroit sports, someone's up, someone's down. You know what I mean? Except now they were all up for a while, except the Lions, of course. And then now they're all down. And it's tough, and they're all in kind of a similar spot, where they're getting a few players that they've drafted at the top of the draft, right? And although, of course, the Red Wings never get any draft luck, they're just
You guys, totally what? Who is this new guy, Moritz Seider? Seider, he won the Calder. No, am I making this up?
Yes, he did.
Okay, that's hopeful.
Going to be really good.
Yeah.
Lucas Raymond's going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't make the finalists. I feel like he hit a bit of kind of ran out of gas. It was his first season. It was a long season. But he's 19.
Yeah.
Seider's 20.
Yeah.
Right? His less goals but more assists. Kind of similar, but even a little more physically imposing than the car, right? Where but the car was like 21. He's 20.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah.
He's physical. He's a nice guy. You know, he's very jovial guy. He's German, right? And he's really really personable. And but he's got, I don't know if I'd call it a mean streak, but he's not afraid to throw his weight around.
Well, he's going to need to.
He had some really good like reverse hits this year that became kind of famous.
Oh, cool.
But he's a big guy, right? He's like 6'3", around 210, I think.
Wow.
200, 210, but 210 or more. But anyway, yeah, so they have a few pillars that they can build around. The sort of older guard like Larkin and Bertuzzi, they all had kind of a step forward after having a miserable
last 5 years.
COVID year.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, well, they were kind of on the way up, and then Larkin, Bertuzzi, they just really had a really, really tough years last year. And then, or the year before. And now this last year, they were kind of back on track. But they're like going to be, I think Bertuzzi's going to be 27 next year or 28.
Okay, so they still got legs. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and right. And Larkin's like 26. So that kind of times out about right. But they're now just kind of getting to where they're starting, you know, the prospects are starting to kind of percolate up. They have this guy, Simon Edvinson, who they just drafted last year, who is, I think, going to turn 20 this year. I think he's 19 right now, I believe.
Yeah.
They need defensemen on the right side.
Okay.
They're set on the left to a large extent. I mean,
yeah.
They, you know, even if they had, like, if Edvinson comes up and is like three quarters of what Slider did last year, right? Which the lead reports on them are similar. Like, he played with Rolando last year, like Slider did in the COVID year.
Yeah.
And, similarly led the team, right? Like, yeah. Right away. He's that kind of, and he's even bigger. He's a really big guy and very mobile. So he might not have the finesse that Slider has, but.
Well, and also, I think it was just
going for, so.
It was just announced they got a new head coach, Derek Lalonde.
Yes.
And that's promising. Yes. He just won two cups with Tampa, so I mean.
Right.
He's so a Stevie Y connection, probably.
Right. So, like, if they do have a brisk turnaround, because they started out great last year, and then they really hit the skids. And when they lost big.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, I'm not the guy to pile on the coach, right? I'm always kind of, well, I give them a lot of latitude,
yeah.
You know. Because Detroit is especially hard on coaches. Coaches and, like, the premier skill, like the key figures, like the quarterback, the goalie, the coaches. They're always hard on them,
yeah.
Right? Their special teams, ever since Blashill took over, have been terrible. They've been last in the league. Their defense is atrocious. And they're very thin in terms of talent, right? Especially last year. But, you know, they have Mark Stahl, who's not completely, you know, he's older, but.
I forget which Stahl. There's four of them, right?
What's that?
There's how many brothers? There's four Stahl brothers. I forget
yeah,
which
so
order
there,
he
there
is.
Four, yeah.
There's Jordan, Mark, Donatello, Raphael.
Donatello, Raphael, and then and their father Splinter.
Yeah.
Right. It was like the. But no, yeah. So, but they, yeah. But you know, he's not like. You know, he's still got. You know, he was solid when he's in there, but it was like there were so many points where he like. Nobody looks like they know what to do.
Yeah.
And we're at the point now where the top line on this power play has been around, and they're having good seasons, right? And even though the power play, again, was atrocious. Even with Slider on it, and they had Jacob Rana, right?
Yeah.
Who, when he came back mid-year, ever since they got him in the absolutely brilliant trade with the Anthony Mantha trade, mm-hmm. right? Braun has done nothing but score goals at an extremely high clip. Yeah. So when he came back, and you think, oh, well, now they have like a top unit here. Like, this is really becoming something. They were still dreadful. And again, it was like, you watch them play Colorado, especially some of the best, especially when Colorado came to town, because they played them twice late, right?
Yeah.
And you know, they're just moving. And like Mickey Redmond keeps talking about that, they're just like moving everywhere without the puck. Tampa Bay, the same thing, right? Just the movement without the puck and all that, and then the high skill, of course, with the, you know, shooting and scoring, right?
Yeah.
But the Red Wings, and you watch their power play, and they're just standing there, going around like they're playing a zone offense in basketball. And you're like, do something. Like, why haven't they figured out yet how to get into the zone? You know what I mean? Like, cleanly. Why haven't they figured out? I mean, like, Larkin is not slow. You know, it's not like he has no puck skills. Like, why haven't they been able? Why can't they do these basic things? Why is their defense breaking down so atrociously when they're all set up? They're all set up to go, and then there's like guys skating in from the circle, right? Where they're like, oh no! So anyway, yeah, the coach. You never know, right?
Now I, you know,
it's like Gallant in New York. It's like Gallant in New York. Everybody keeps firing Gallant, right? And then he keeps winning. Going, you know, to the conference finals or winning the, you know, going to the finals.
Well,
and he does it every year, and then they fire him.
Yeah.
Go on, for Christ's sake, but we'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, what happened in Colorado 5 years ago, where we were the worst team in the league, and Coach Bednar was, everyone wanted his head, you know, and they kept him. Joe Sakic kept him, and now he has a Stanley Cup, so you got to have faith in these guys sometimes.
Eisenman's the key. Right.
Yeah.
And Eisenman did.
Well, he's the GM now, right? Is that new? He's also their GM. Is that new?
For 2 years, yeah.
A couple of years. Okay.
Yeah, he started it a few years ago. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like with the draft coming up today.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun because you know it's going to be fun because like with the Pistons, Troy Weaver is fun because he makes all these moves and they've worked so far. He's only been GM a couple of years, right? And he doesn't really have a track record as a GM. But he's like doing all these things, like collecting all these centers and then waving half of them. And he's like, draining all the second round draft picks. And he's like, this is just like nuts, right? What's going on here? But with Eisenman, he does something like drafting Moritz Seider, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he drafted Moritz Seider, sixth, not universally, but everybody was like, whoa, that seems like a reach. Everybody had him at 10 to 20 or so.
Gotta have faith.
And
believe in him. Believe in Stevie Y.
Like, right? And so the thing with Eisenman, it's like a second figure probably where it's like, but even more so, dare I say, they call him the captain for a reason. Like everybody calls him the captain for a reason. He just always does the right thing. He's like the anti-lion.
Yeah.
The Lions always do the wrong thing under the Fords.
Yeah.
And you take it almost like it almost becomes a comfort. Like, oh, well, whoever the coach hire is, you know, it's going to be the wrong thing. Eventually, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of comforting. You don't even have to think about it. What Eisenman does is going to be the right thing, always. So it's just like, it's kind of a comfortable thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm very interested to see what he's going to do in the draft because, you know, whether it's, you know, one of these set of centers that everybody thinks they're going to take, right? Like a Savoy or someone, you know, whoever's available at that point, right? You know, that's going to be like, watch him take, like, I hope somebody falls. I mean, you know, you hope somebody just, like, drops to him and he snaps him up, right? Which he's done, also with Edmonton, right, was what he did. But, like, whatever it is, he's building the team. Like, the lower, some of those are going to become NHLers, right? Like, before that, we still have the Hunter. He kind of lost his mind late. Everybody was giving Holland a hard time, right?
Yeah.
And rightfully so. But he didn't, you know, create that 2008-2009 roster, which was one of the more dominant teams ever by the number.
Oh yeah.
But he, you know, his free agent signings, you know, questionable. Their draft picks, you know, he's always drafting low. right? And, yeah. and they had really good European scouting. So he was always able to get like the Dead Suits instead of Edwards late because no one else is scouting them, right, at the time. Mm-hmm. Once everybody started scouting those players in Europe, especially that heavily, you know, his magic kind of went away a bit.
Yeah.
And so you end up with like your Joe Valenos, your Rasmussen. Look, he really took a last year. He looks like he can be like a really good third line player. But again, he's going to be like a Larkin was a good pick, right?
Yeah.
And that was kind of low. But he was like a Detroit guy, right? So that was like the slam dunk kind of thing. They were picking, was it like 16th or 19th or something? I don't remember. But so, but those are the, you know, but Yzerman, you know, you feel like all of his like lower picks, like these meter of the world and or however you pronounce his name. But anyway, like some of these guys, and Elmer Soderblom, who's this exciting player who, you know, is huge. He's like 6'8 and like 220 or something.
With and skates on or just natural?
What's that?
6'8 with 6'8 with skates on or without?
I believe without.
Oh my god.
He's enormous. He's like Isaiah Stewart size for the Pistons, right? He's huge.
Another
But he's a forward. He's really highly skilled, really good hands, he could skate. So people were like, oh, he's raw, I don't know. And then now people are starting to talk about him right over in Sweden. So he's maybe a couple of years down the road. He drafted their goalie of the future, probably, right, in that Kosa, right, who might be in the AHL this year.
Who's so your affiliate team?
Those guys are going to turn out. What's that?
Who's the Detroit's farm team?
The Grand Rapids Griffins.
Oh, okay.
So they're right down the street, right? So, but yeah, so, and like Lucas Raymond. I mean, it's funny because you think, oh, well, who's he going to picking eight this year, right? Doing a little better and not getting lottery luck again. And you look at, you know, check your notes and you're like, oh, Steve Eisen's probably going to get the best player in the draft, right?
Yeah. Like, well,
or one of the top two, you know?
Yeah.
He just is the guy where he does stuff right.
Well, I hope Detroit turns it around and they have a good, you know, build on what they have and they get some good draft picks and maybe they'll make the playoffs. I don't know if they will, but for your sake,
I don't think so. But if they do, it'll be because like Edmondson turned into a really good player right away, like Slider did. I'm really interested to see who Yzerman picks up because they're like short, second line center, second line winger, probably even a third liner. You know, to get even, that's to make the playoffs, not to contend, right? And, you know, but it's going to come down to if they make a big jump with the new coach, the new voice, the defense gets shorn up, right? Nobody expected the Rangers to do anything, right? Yeah. And then Gallant comes in and boom, right? And the goalie, right? Like if Nedeljkovic has a rough stretch like he did last year where he was just dreadful in the middle of the year. Again, that might have been, he had never played a full year as a starting goalie.
Yeah.
And they leaned on him a lot because Grice was either injured or terrible. And so if he can play like he did at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year, and they shore up defensively, the new guys, Sider, Raymond, take another step forward. There's no major injuries. Everything has to break right for them to make the playoffs.
Yeah, like Boston needs a total collapse, and also
right,
Tampa
which is
total
not
collapse.
That there are a few. The East is stacked.
Yeah,
the division is stacked.
That's what I'm getting.
But
at,
there
yeah.
are a few regression candidates out there, like Boston. I feel like who, I mean, do we even know what's going to happen with Pastrnak yet or anything? I don't know. I know. I haven't been paying attention.
Yeah.
I haven't been paying attention. Again, I don't...
Well, yeah, I see, I'm very casual myself, so...
Yeah, me too.
Well, I'm going to call it an episode, my friend, Mr. Sparks.
All right.
Thank you so much for
this
your time and your knowledge. I learned a few new things. I'm going to keep my eye on Detroit this year, see how they do. And also just...
The team to watch.
Yeah, I just... As a last note, I just wanted to send out some strength and love to... Brian Marchment, He died at age 53 unexpectedly. He played 17 seasons in the NHL. So shout out to his family during this difficult time and his son Mason, who currently plays for the Florida Panthers. Sorry for your loss. But anyway, thanks a million, Mr. Sparks.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Yeah.